I decided a couple of weeks ago that I would like to talk directly to these 10 assembled new members of our church this morning, but I would like to think that if the rest of you will eavesdrop, no matter how old you are, there might be something useful. The fact is, however, young ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to be talking to you. And I thank you for agreeing to sit up front where I can see you clearly while I say these things. You've noticed, surely, that every Sunday morning, almost everyone in this room does one thing in unison. We say a prayer that goes, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." We keep asking for the coming of the kingdom of God. But I wonder, even about those of us who are older, whether we have any clear notion of what we are asking for. What is this kingdom of God? And what would it mean to have it come more fully into the everyday world we live in? The world of homes, schools, parties, movies, basketball games, the whole business. There are a lot of things said about the kingdom in the Bible, but only one thing that I want you to think about. Jesus said once, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." So I know one thing about it. It's inside people. It has something to do with your personality, with your attitude, with how you look at yourself, and how you look at other people every day of your life. But what you want from the inside has a way of turning into what you get on the outside, which means that if the kingdom of God is in your heart, then that same kingdom of love and justice and kindness will slowly get built up all around you. And on that note, let me share with you one of my favorite pictures of what this means. One of the Jewish prophets in the Old Testament looks at poor old Jerusalem, dusty and beat up and battered at the time. And he represents God as saying, "I will come to this place and dwell in the midst of it, and life will be what it is meant to be. Old men and old women shall sit again in the streets, each with a staff in hand because they are frail, but secure and welcome. And the streets of the city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in the open spaces." People have dreamed that kind of dream about cities forever. Cities filled with parks and flowers, where the spirit is not forgotten, where the moment of beauty is as important as bus lines and bridges. 30 years ago, soon after I came to Wichita, I talked to a downtown club of businessmen about my own dream of a golden city. I did it because I taught a course at the university for years about utopia, the word that means the dream city, the golden city. Well, I could tell as I talked to those men that most of them thought that very little of what I dreamed was likely to come true. But listen, I said how great it would be to have bicycle paths scattered around the city because we had none. I hoped the river would be dammed up to make the heart of the city look good, because water has life and gulls drop down and sunlight and moonlight dance on it. I didn't have enough imagination to dream about a river festival. That was beyond my hopes at the moment. But I hoped for a public garden where people could feast on the beauty of non-practical things like fountains and flowers. I didn't know how to take it far enough or give it a name like Botanica. What about a park or two? I said to them, downtown, where people who work in offices could come down on warm, bright days and eat their lunches if they liked. And more playgrounds for kids, lots of them with swings and sand. And even a university that instead of being just a bunch of buildings for classrooms would be an outdoor museum of art and statuary. Well, it was all too fantastic to come true, except that most of it did. But you may have noticed something. I talked then only about things, bike paths, dams, parks, playgrounds. I didn't talk about the even more important stuff like love and trust and justice for everybody, regardless of class or color. And if Wichita looks better physically now than it did 30 years ago, don't you think we have a lot of dreaming and a lot of work ahead of us yet if we hope to make it into the kind of place old Zechariah the prophet dreamed of, where older people are safe in a park and kids are safe on the street? So who will finally get to make it that way? You guessed it. You will be the ones, finally, who make it and keep it that way. And if not this city, some other city. So I'd like to tell you right now what the two hopes are that I have for you, the two traits of character that will make for as happy a life as you can hope to have and will help make the kingdom of God come. One of them is a sense of gratitude, of almost constantly being thankful for the incredible number of good things in your lives. Now, I know enough about kids, what with three of my own and five grandchildren, to know that some of you are probably sitting there thinking, boy, he doesn't know much about my life. I sure don't consider myself one of the luckiest people in the room. Well, I need to tell you how you get this attitude of gratitude. You get it in only one way, not by looking up at people who have more than you. There'll always be some of those. And if you look at them and fret because you don't have that much, you aren't that pretty, you aren't that smart, you aren't that rich, then you'll never be happy. Never. Only resentful and whiny. But listen, there are literally millions of people below you who have far less than you do. By sheer accident, you happen to be born here to middle or upper class parents in a very wealthy country. You may not know this, but every single one of you would rank in the top 1% of all the children in the world when it comes to food and clothes and houses and cars and vacations. 99% of all the kids on earth not as well off as you are. If you just remember that once or twice a day and think to yourself, my, oh my, I'm a lucky person, it will do extraordinary things to your disposition. You'll be amazed at what happens to you, and so will your friends. Do I need to convince you just a little more? Take a tour of your closet this afternoon. Most kids in the world would be amazed to tour your closet. Kids who cannot imagine having more than one change of clothing. Then go open the icebox door. And if it's like ours, step back so nothing on those overcrowded shelves will fall on your feet. Millions of kids around the world wonder if there will be enough to eat at the next meal. You've seen their pictures. The worst ones with those staring eyes and bloated bellies, their minds already damaged by lack of nourishment. And even the luckiest, living on a diet that you would consider almost a form of punishment. It's a little different from only worrying about whether you'll get asked to a party or which fast food store has the best hamburgers. But you don't really have to use your imagination about far-off places. Just be in the right places in Wichita and open your eyes and feel something. And thankfulness for your good life will swell up in your heart until it almost bursts. Take a walk through the children's ward in one of the big hospitals. See the kids with bald heads from chemotherapy, the little girl with the hopelessly deformed legs, the little boy born without a colon. Or maybe because some parents punish in ways different from yours, the one I saw with cigarette burns all over his back from a father who thought that was a clever way to make him mind. Or you could join me in the gym at the West Branch YMCA some morning and watch the mentally and physically crippled kids that have been brought in from their special school to get a little exercise. They walk on the same track I do, except that I go fairly fast for one of those old guys, and they go very slowly. One boy rides a stationary bike and howls and moans and sometimes barks like a dog. If he gets too loud, his other retarded friends try to hush him up. They put their hands over his mouth because he embarrasses them. I have to watch out for the ones on the track because they aren't steady and they may lurch over suddenly in front of me. They have keepers with them. And I hear one of them, a young woman, scream suddenly at a black boy, "I told you, James, to stay close to that wall." And James jerks because it scares him. Don't be too hard on her. It's not an easy job she has. And she's probably worn out trying to be a shepherd for those crippled sheep. But I felt bad for James, so I touched him on the shoulder as I went by and said to him as warmly as I could, "Good morning, James." I wanted him to know he was welcome, but James had only a blank and unresponsive stare. I don't know whether it helped, but I felt so incredibly thankful for my life and the life of my kids and grandkids that I had to do it. So take a good hard look at kids like that and think about how lucky you are. Then maybe it'll be easier to handle a couple of pimples on your chin or being shorter than you like or not quite as pretty or having the wrong color hair or whatever it is that makes life a tragedy as you go sailing along through the teens. I wouldn't wish a visit like this on you. But let me tell you something else. There are other places worse than the worst of the hospital wards, worse than Levy School, places where thousands of children are hidden away because they are too terribly misshapen and grotesque to go out in public. I have seen some of them, and you just need to know about them too and feel a tidal wave of thankfulness sweep over you and be able to say to yourself once or twice a day, morning and night, oh my, I am so lucky. I said I'd mention two personality traits that make the kingdom come in your heart and make you happy. And the second one, very briefly, is that once you've gotten it firmly into your heads how lucky you are, make a resolution that when you get little chances to say or do something that makes life a little more pleasant for somebody else, you do it. Even if it's only a warm hello to someone who has been put down or yelled at, who isn't popular, who isn't athletic, who isn't very smart. It doesn't have to be anything huge, because if you learn to do the little things that make the kingdom of heaven come, when the big chances come, you'll know how to use them. So, I wish you good luck. Make the kingdom come and be happy.